Great day, everyone. Welcome to the Coffee with Rhonda Show Espresso Shot segment, where we're going to take a quick sip of inspiration, revelation, and wit before we dive into our main chat. So let's talk rehumanizing leadership. In a world driven by data and technology and numbers and constant change, it's easy to lose sight and focus all on the business aspects. However, there's another imperative at hand. Every living soul under your leadership influence deserves the human touch. That's right. They matter, and they matter on more than a business level. They matter on a human level. So my question for you is, are you skilled at the art of humanized leadership? I want you to think about this. Imagine your leadership style as a mirror that's reflecting back to you, your team. What do you see? Do you see genuine connection? Do you see authenticity? Do you see a shared sense of purpose? Or do you see rigid hierarchies and transactional types of interactions? If it's the latter, I implore you to take a step back and to commit to a more humanized leadership approach. That's today's Espresso Shot. We're going to break it all down today on episode 107 of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's get ready to lead above the grind. Day, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Hello out there. Uh-oh, Roz says she can't hear us, but we can hear her. All right, there we go. So great day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. We are your cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. So we are today at in season nine at episode 107. And we're going to dive in just a little bit. Before we do that, a few housekeeping items. If you would stop right now, like, share the video. If you're watching later, if you're watching on replay, please take a moment to like and share the video. I promise there is something in this conversation today that will resonate with someone in your network. So with all of that being said, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show. My past experiences included hospital executive leadership, and with all of that, I understand stress at work. I now advocate for a more holistic, modern, well-being-centric approach to leadership, where we are caring for ourselves just as we are caring for others. If you want to learn more about the work I do in the world, you can visit atgleadership.com. So today, I have my cup of stuff in here. Y'all don't want me to tell you what's in this cup. No, I just have coffee in this cup with a little bit of pumpkin spice creamer. And that's what's in my cup. Let's introduce our co-host. Roz popped off, but I think she'll be back on, and we'll introduce her when she gets back. Good evening, Marae.
Good morning to you all the way. I'm here all the way from Perth, Australia, and it's an hour later, but I'm still here. So the greatness engineer with you today. You know me by now. I'm all about greatness, making sure you step into your greatness and you understand that we need your gift, and I particularly work with women in male-dominated environment to help them to really step into that greatness that they have and be able to really, you know, sit at the decision-making table so that we can increase the number of women in those industry. And today I'm drinking water, so nothing special, water in my cup.
All right. Thank you, Marae, for helping us I was thinking as you were speaking, for helping us take seats and make tables.
Right? Exactly. Take seats and make tables.
Make more tables for us to sit at. So thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and introduce our guest for today. I'm very excited about our guest. I'm going to do a little introduction, read a little bit of bio here. And so Sabine Gideon is the founder of She Leads Network, and she also hosts the She Leads Now, a top-rated podcast centered around women in leadership and in business. Sabine is passionate about helping women and emerging leaders elevate their influence and their impact. With nearly 20 years of influence, she's worked with clients in both startup and Fortune 500 companies to support their growth and development. Sabine inspires her clients to become confident, influential leaders who drive transformation and achieve their desired results. Sabine's powerful message of growth and transformation is amplified through her book, Transformed, The Journey of Becoming. She's also a certified life coach and leadership consultant from ICF accredited institution and holds a master's degree in management and organizational leadership. Welcome to the coffee table, Sabine. And do you also have a new book?
I do. And thank you. Thank you for having me this morning. Yes. So Leadership Reloaded, Reimagining, Redefining, and Rehumanizing Leadership. So perfect topic for today.
Awesome. Thank you, Sabine. And what's in your cup?
So in my cup, which is almost done now, is coffee with pumpkin spice as well. I grew up in the Northeast, and so I love this time of year for pumpkin spice. I'm probably the only one in California.
So I love that your cup. So when we do our coffee shot later on and we're holding up our cups, it's going to be perfect because your cup matches your top, which is just perfect. Just perfect. Could not have done that better. So we're going to dive into our conversation today. And I'm really looking forward to this one. I want to start with your opening quote, Sabine. I asked all of our guests to share an opening quote, something that resonates and connects the dots for people. I'll share your opening quote. I'll read it for those who are watching, listening later on audio form. And then I'm going to ask you to just talk to us about why this quote for you. The quote says, "The two most important days of your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." And that's a quote by Mark Twain. So Sabine, tell us about this. Why this quote for you? Uh-oh, I think you're muted. There we go.
Oh, okay. Yes, so thank you for sharing that. This process of rehumanizing leadership actually began with me and myself as I started to feel a shift. And as I've been working with clients as well, I've recognized that this is not... It was born out of the pandemic, but it's not just a pandemic thing. And so when you look at the quote around, you know, the 2 days that you're born or the 2 days that dates that matter when you're born and why, in order to really get to a place where you are stepping back and rehumanizing leadership, that starts with you. And to get to that place where, you know, even before you're performing in the leadership capacity, taking that step back and really asking yourself or getting to the answer of who am I? What do I want? Why am I here? And from there, determining what your values are and then leading from that place. So when I had to go through the journey of kind of uncoupling all of the identities and all the roles and all the titles and everything else, it led me to that core question of who am I? And from there spurred everything else to the place that I could get to where I can say, oh, okay, this is who I am. This is what I bring. This is my unique brilliance and what I bring into this world. And this is how I'm going to share it. And so it's from that place that I think as leaders or individuals operating in a leadership capacity, because I think we're all leaders. It is from that place that I think we can be the most effective.
I love that so much. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more because I love how it all of you and what you just described, all of you comes together, right? Who you are, why you're here in this world to share your brilliance. What is that brilliance? Your values, right? All of that comes together in the way that you show up in the world every day. So we're going to come back to that in just a second. Roz, I just want to say good morning and give you a second to introduce yourself and say hello to everyone.
Hello. Goodbye. I don't know why you set me up like that. I don't know why, Rhonda.
You know how we do.
I know. But anyway, I'm Ron Jones, the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, where we help expand the life of your loved one. Why do we do it? We do it to help the caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelmed, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, give us a call. I apologize for my tech problems. So I dropped at the nearest place at my hairdresser. I was passing by. I said, "Can I borrow a room, honey?" She said, "Sure." So this is my studio today. I'm at the salon.
I love that. Roz, you know, one of the best things I've learned from you in this show is you are creative. Roz will make it happen and get it done, regardless of where it is and what it looks like. That is a skill, Roz. You probably package and sell, actually. So,
oh my God, can I get some money for it?
So let's keep going here. I want to start by sharing this clip because I think it ties beautifully with what Sabine was sharing. And Lord Jesus, please help me get this thing to work properly. Me and my technology, right? So I'm going to share my screen because it is a clip from YouTube. And we just need to know that, of course, later on, YouTube will make me take it out for copyright, but whatever. We can play it right. We can play it right now. So this is what I want to share with all of you. So take a listen to this. And then I want to just go and do a round table. And I'm going to start with you, Sabine, when we come back. And I want you to react to this.
Okay. It had a profound impact on me. We had developed the ideas of continuous improvement. And parallel with that, the ideas of people-centric leadership. We're having a management meeting up in our Green Bay operation. And somebody emailed me the night before and said, "Bob, you might be aware, a group of our team members went through this event for a large project in the plant to improve and employ continuous improvement ideas. You might want to walk out and recognize them." I said, "Why don't you invite them into the management meeting in the morning and we'll let them share their experience with all of us." So these three gentlemen were 7 o'clock in the morning. We invited into this executive management meeting and they stood before us as I stand before you and they shared with us the achievements of this project. They'd improved quality, cut lead time, reduced inventory, financially, everything was, and shipped it on time. And you know, the typical dialogue of an organization is all about numbers and performance and profits. I was blessed with a thought to ask this one gentleman, Steve, who I'd never met before, who was a valued member of our assembly team in the plant. I said the following: "How did it affect your life?" Now, this gentleman had never met before. He was called into this executive meeting, so he had no time to prepare his thoughts, so he told me the profound truth. His answer was, "I'm talking to my wife more." And I said, "I don't understand. What do you mean you're talking to your wife more?" He said, "Do you know what it's like to be a part of an organization where you're going every day, you're told what to do, people don't ask you what you think. You get 10 things right and you don't hear a word. And you get one thing wrong and you never hear the end of it. Do you know what it feels like to go home at night from that environment?" He said, "You don't feel very good about yourself. And when you don't feel very good about yourself, you're not very nice to your wife." He said, "Since we've embraced this people-centric leadership, since we've embraced the idea of continuous improvement, where I have a chance to make my role better, to contribute my gifts, people ask me what I think, for me to contribute to making things better. Since we've done that, I go home feeling valued and better about myself. And when I go home feeling better about myself, I find I'm nicer to my wife. And believe it or not, when I'm nicer to my wife, she talks to me." what hit me suddenly was that the biggest number that I was going to look for, the biggest measurable, was the reduction in the divorce rate of our employees. Now, I want to connect one final dot. I was hiking in the mountains.
All right. That's the part I really wanted to share, because I listened to that this morning and had no intention of playing that in today's segment until I heard it this morning. And I thought, if that doesn't sum up the essence of the role we have as leaders, wow. So Sabine, your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, that was powerful. That's not where I was expecting that to go. But I just think it speaks to the whole theme around rehumanizing leadership, right? And let's take titles aside. Let's take roles. Let's take all of these identities that we've carried, right? We as human beings, I was at LinkedIn Talent Connect earlier or last month, and the Prime Minister, I can't remember her name right now, from New Zealand, the one that was in office during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, she talked about, let's teach our kids, let's be the people who we teach our kids to be. And that was kind, that was compassionate, that was respectful, you know, going back to the basics. And as I feel like as we grow up as adults and start adulting and life starts happening, we forget the basics of our humanity. And unfortunately, it takes devastating things for us to go back to who we really are at the core. And so watching this video, it makes me just go back to, imagine if we were who we really are at our core every single day in every single interaction, which is why it's so important to get to that place where you are doing that work of self-awareness and going back and, you know, grounding yourself within the truth of who you are. Or else you can easily get caught up in, just like he said, the numbers and the stats and the performance and results, where that's not what we are as human beings.
Yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it, Sabine. It's he sort of took that turn and it threw me off for a minute too. I was like, oh, right, this is very interesting. So I'm going to say good morning to Beth. To Joe first. Hey, good morning, Joe. Great to see you out there. I'm so happy to listen to such an important topic that will give people the capacity to connect to the mission because they want to, not because they have to. I have dandelion tea in my cup. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Joe, for tuning in. Marae, your take on that that clip.
Oh, that's just like Sabine. It's a very powerful, you know, video. And I'm happy that you actually referred to Jacinta Ardern, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, because that she was very, leadership was a very, you know, a humanizing leadership. And she was often called out to be weak, you know, be a weak leader. And she really defended herself all the time, making sure that, you know, making sure to people understand we deal with human, and we have to bring, you know, we have to bring this perspective. It's not just about numbers. We are human being, and we have to be able to be vulnerable. We have to be able to, you know, to have the chance to be given to improve, because we're not perfect at the end of the day. And that's really what, you know, we need to understand it. At the end of the day, we are human being. We have to show who we are and really, you know, bring the best that we have. This best might shortfall sometime, but that's okay. We need to have the opportunity to, you know, get, you know, the chance to improve and to go to the next level. And that's why all the time I talk about, you know, going to the next level of our greatness, because it's a never ending journey. You know, we're not there. There's always something that we can learn. There's always something that we can improve in, and we shouldn't be labile, you know, because of that. And that's really important. And it transcends, you know, through every aspect of our life, you know, starting, you know, in the office and then ending at home, how we interact with our children, with our husband, with whoever we, you know, we people in our community. So it's a very important thing to know, have this self-reflection, understanding as leader that we are human first, and we are dealing with human being as well, and we're impacting their life at the end of the day. So that's really important.
Yeah, thanks, Murray. I really appreciate that perspective as well. I think I'm going to put the link to that video because he wants to share a couple of other really powerful stories. So, Roz, let's come to you and get your thoughts on that clip.
That clip really, it was like a gut punch, you know, because we think we have to have 30,000 followers, 50 million likes in order to impact and disrupt and influence. You don't have to have all of that. You know, as a leader, you know, you think you have to have all of that in order to make a difference. We talked about this the other day. You throw a pebble in the water and it makes a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. We are those pebbles. And this is what he's talking about. How did they say you can't lead if you're bleeding? And that's both at home and everywhere. I know it's a cliche. However, if I'm hurting, my employees pick it up. As a caregiver, my clients pick it up. So I try my best to go in and not bring in my baggage or whatever's going on when I come in. You know, because then that sets them back in their illness as well. Whatever I bring in. So as I listened to that, I said, wow, you know, I have that kind of impact here in this zip code, you know, with the clients. So I want everybody to understand that we all have that impact. We don't have to be social media giants to make a change. Mm-hmm. We're a giant right here in our own local areas. Even right where you live, you're an impact. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yeah, it's really powerful, the difference that we can all make if we choose to.
Right.
We simply have to choose and decide. I can tell you, I've participated in a lot of board meetings. No one ever leads with how are our people doing, right? Mm-hmm. We lead with what's the bottom line and, you know, what new product is launching and all of this other stuff. What's our customer feedback? You know, how's that data looking? You eventually somewhere down the agenda get to what are employee engagement scores if you've taken an employee engagement survey recently. Otherwise, it's just business as usual. And what a powerful thing to sort of shift companies to asking first how your people are doing. I think that's a very powerful place to go. And Sabine, we're talking about sort of rehumanizing leadership. Let's do a little bit of level setting. From your perspective, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, ladies, for your powerful reflections back. Like, you took a powerful video and, you know, made it even more powerful. So as you all were talking, I think about when I first came into corporate America, and I remember being explicitly told, right, like, you leave your stuff at the door. When you are here, and work is all that matters. And granted, I won't say how many years ago that was, but that was a while ago. And we look at the workforce now, and, you know, while people can say what they want about Gen Z, I admire them and their ability to, you know, be emotional and to share their emotions and to expect vulnerability, to expect honesty, to expect all of the things from their leadership. And what I'm seeing just with clients and, you know, just, you know, reading what's out in the atmosphere, for those who were brought up with that same mindset of, you know, leave your emotions at the door, business is business, personal is personal, or I'm not here to make friends, whatever, you know, mindset people have walked in with, it's hard for them to turn on that switch and say, oh, okay, yes, it's about the business. Yes, there's a transactional aspect of it. But now, you know, in order for me to get my people to feel like they belong, to feel like they are a part of something that is greater, I have to first be vulnerable. And Rhonda, I know you'll appreciate this. And for those of you who do coaching, you know that the easiest way, right, or the best way to connect with someone else is to first be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It is something about you showing your scars or your wounds or, you know, putting down the cape, so to speak, that allows other people to do the same. And I just think back to when I was making the decision to leave corporate America. And I really wanted to do my own business. I didn't even know what that meant, but I just wanted to do my own business. I had to take a step back and ask myself, when have I felt the most alive? And when have I felt the most fulfilled? And two things came back to me when I was supporting employees, you know, in mapping out their careers and then reverse engineering what they needed. And then it was when I was behind closed doors with leaders. And that's when I saw their humanity. That's when I saw their vulnerability. That's when I saw, oh, okay, these are some of the things that are happening at home, or these are some of the things that are happening behind the scenes that are causing them to behave this way. And I realized that the reason why they let me in, so to speak, on those private, you know, more personal moments was because I was that way. And I think that, you know, the more, if you really have a heart to connect with people, it starts with you connecting with yourself. And I'm going to sound like a dead horse here, or I'm going to beat the horse dead. But it starts with you connecting within you and then finding that thing to connect with other people. In a world where we have, you know, technology is everything, right? And we have all these tools and all these devices and all these ways to communicate. I hope that those who are sitting in leadership positions recognize that, you know, just like at home, you don't get your kids to do stuff if, you know, you're a distant parent, or you're not going to create a relationship with someone that you care about unless you're there, unless you're present, unless you're listening, unless you're vulnerable. It's the same in the workplace. And I think we just need to break down that divide that work is work and home is home. I'm not saying that we need to go into organizations and acting like we're family, because that'll create some toxic environments that we don't need, for sure. But think about the basic human desires, the basic human needs that we all have. How are you making sure that you're creating that for yourself so that you can pour that into other people?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautifully said. thank you so much for helping us understand sort of the perspective that you come from when we're talking about rehumanizing leadership. Marae, I want to come to you for a minute, because I want to talk about, in your work in male-dominated fields, what I want you to just envision for me, and what would it be like if in these male-dominated fields, there was leadership that was using that humanized approach so that the women entering these fields could feel like they matter? Like, how would that have changed things?
I've seen things changing. I mean, from when I started in the 90s to, you know, now still being in, you know, looking at how that leadership had changed. There's been a change. And what I've realized is that the men are, because of the way they are raised and because of the way they, you know, they are educated, is about not showing their, you know, their vulnerability. And when they actually have women, you know, working with them and lead, you know, and especially when women are leading them, and I've been, I experienced that myself. They tend to close themselves even when you offer them this vulnerability, because it clashes with whatever they know as, you know, being a strong leader, as, you know, showing that, you know, you're not emotional, especially in this type of, industry. So I've actually managed it, when I was leading, and it was back when I was working in South Africa, I managed to actually bring this vulnerability, you know, into the office. I had, you know, clutches at the beginning, but what I did to be able to, you know, to slowly make it, you know, something that is not scary for them, is to isolate them, make time to sit down with them and understand, you know, what they are going through, and really connect with them. And when, you know, they were able to share, were able to, you know, to trust, then they understood that that was something that was really necessary, and they felt really well. You know, you could see, you know, the change in the office and how they were related to other women, and understanding really that, you know, women have their place as well. They bring something different, even if, you know, they have a different way of leading. So I think it's really, you know, communicating and initiating things, like, you know, Sabine was saying, is that, you know, going and then checking first. And I really liked, you know, I'm consulting with a group, you know, right now. And I really like what they do is that every day they have a meeting, a 15-minute meeting, and they start the meeting by asking, you know, in a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? And they go around the table asking that, and you can see that it's really productive, because it helps certain people to understand, oh, okay, you know, I can actually tell people if I'm okay, if I'm not okay, and I don't have to hide, you know. And we see that the productivity is really good as well in this group, because they feel valued. And one of the things that they're asking as well is, you know, having a shout out for somebody in the team that helps you, and really tell, you know, the group, you know, how this person has helped you. So really bringing the human, you know, aspect of that. And I think those are the kind of thing that we need to bring in male-dominated environment as well, you know, showing what, you know, leading, you know, with empathy and really showing your vulnerability as leader can bring, you know, in those very strong, you know, minded and male-dominated, you know, industries.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Marae. Thank you also for giving the prime illustration of what people are doing today to try mm-hmm. to bring that forward. And I love the question, how do you feel, and not what do you think, right? Because we mm-hmm. tend to know that our concrete brain, mm-hmm. we want to talk about what we think, not mm-hmm. so much what we feel, mm-hmm. right? And particularly, so creating that space. So Roz, I'm going to go to you, and then we're going to take a quick commercial, and then we'll come back, and I'm going to talk to Sabine about her formula for doing this. But Roz, your team is kind of on the go, right? And spread out a bit. And so how are you able to bring that humanized leadership and that vulnerability to a team that is not geographically located in the same spot?
I go to each person. I take a visit at least once a month to the location where they're providing services. So because we can't always get together. I mean, sometimes we can get together on Zoom, but to me, this is like a hospital setting. I can't feel your energy. I can't, you know, look at you eyeball to eyeball and pick up things. You know, I can look at them and say, okay, what's wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. Oh, yes, it is. I can tell immediately. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And then I can tell when I walk in the person's house, if something is not put back the way it's supposed to, because you're pulled off of focus. So I can pick those things up and say, okay, do you need a break? Do we need to get someone to come in here and give you a break? All right. Another place where I'm providing services at a local ALF, they had a new manager come in. And this new manager came in like Hitler. And so now they have 15 people who have turned in their resignation.
In the meantime, these people need care.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah, right. Okay. I've been there and done that. Good Lord.
So, you know, the person comes in, does a Rambo type thing, dictatorship, Hitler type, you know, leadership. And now everybody's like, well, you know, what's going on? You got to do this. You got to do that. And one man says, I'm 70 years old. And this person is 45. You don't have any respect for me? Then I don't respect to stay here. And he walked off the job. And you know, as we're talking about humanizing, you know, leadership, you know, these are the things that we have to remember. You know, when we are leading people, people have feelings. They want to be respected. As the old people say, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Mm-hmm. And she came in with vinegar and gasoline and a match. And this is what she's getting. Oh my goodness.
That's so interesting, Roz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard. I think if you're sitting on the other side of that, and I think about, I go back to that clip that we played where the gentleman said, he's like, I have a new number to reduce the divorce rate. I'm sure all his executives were like, well, wait a minute. Now that's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy burden for us. But imagine what it takes to get to the point that you are treating people such that they then leave your organization and treat others better. Roz?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm listening as Sabine was talking about the millennials and why they, Gen Z and why they're being so transparent. It's because now they have millennials leading them. To whereas before, I had baby boomers leading me, and it was whatever went on at the house stayed at the house. And now we have a different generation that's saying something different. So now we have sometimes four generations within my company. And I have to look at the baby boomers. I have to look at the millennials, the Gen Z, and the Gen X. I have them all, baby, mixed up like a piece of, like a gumbo. And so as the cook, as the head cook, I have to know what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in business. We have to know you have all these different age groups and they've been brought up a certain way. They've been brought up a certain way. We were taught to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and or Miss Rhonda or Miss Sabine. And this one little girl said, Rosalind, and I almost passed out. I said, no, honey, you come in, touch my pearls. But you see what I'm saying? She didn't disrespect me. I'm just like, how old are you, sugar? I'm 25. You come in, Miss Jones. You know what I'm saying? So we all have different, you know, we've come from different eras.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that, and we have to, and I have to adapt by them calling me my first name. I do. It's weird. But, you know, I have to adapt. And so that's what we have to do in the workplace, and then also too at home, because as the world evolves, we have to make the necessary adjustments.
Yeah. That is so true. May Roz clutch her pearls. Sabine, I'm going to give you a chance because we've been talking for a bit. So I wanted you to sort of wrap up a bit. Then we'll go to our commercial maybe. I haven't quite decided because I want to keep this conversation going because it's so good. But I think we're talking about something really, really powerful, Sabine, and that is like the power of showing up in our humanity and being from a place of non-judgment. Right. Roz, what I hear in you in your conversation is with all of these different groups under our charge, how do we release judgment so that we can just accept people as people? Right. Sabine, that it seems harder than it sounds.
Of course it is. Especially, you know, depending on the size of the organization and, you know, where you're seated and the culture that was there either before you got there or that you've created. I think one of the important things, and thank you, Roz, for bringing that up, is, you know, we have to understand getting to the place where you can humanize leadership starts by recognizing that we are all different, right? So I like to use the metaphor, I think it's a metaphor, of snowflakes, right? So we know that every snowflake, there's no two snowflakes that are alike. They are all unique. But when they fall in and they are fresh, thank God I haven't seen any in a long time. But when they are fallen, they are fresh. It's just like this beautiful collection of this white stuff, right? So think about that from that perspective. Like we all have different lived experiences. We all have unique backgrounds. Like, you know, we're four women of color, Black women, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I was born in Haiti. Morel was born in Africa. Like there are so many things. If as a leader, you're just like, oh, okay, well, four Black women. Like you've missed the opportunity to dig into who I am, what my lived experiences are, how I see the lens that I see life through. And granted, we're never going to be able to, fully understand everyone's lived experiences. But as a leader, starting with the notion or the understanding that everyone who comes under my charge, as you put it, Rhonda, everyone is different. Everyone is different. And my responsibility is not necessarily to cater to everyone's differences, but to understand okay, what makes Roz unique? What makes Morel unique? What makes Rhonda unique? And then to treat them individually from that place. Mm-hmm. So it's not about, you know, trying to understand everybody, because there are too many people. We know too many people to get to that place. But how can I connect with her? What is that one thing that I know that she is really, really passionate about that I can connect to? And so it's simple, but it's not easy. I guess that's the best way to describe. And it takes intentionality. Like, this is not something that you can fake until you make it. This is not something that, you know, oh, okay, well, I want to be authentic this month, and then I'm not authentic the next month. This takes intention, and it's going to challenge you, and it's going to make you uncomfortable, and it's going to make you feel like you've missed the mark at some points. And that's okay. That's the process of growth. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, you know, where it's just like, we have these expectations of organizations, you know, when you factor in inclusivity and DEI and everything else, like we want to see change immediately. But think of us as humans, right? How many times at the beginning of the year do we say, okay, I'm going to work out and I'm going to be my best self and I'm going to be fly and have abs, right? And then by February or March, I see how Roz is looking at me. By February or March, we're like, yeah, about that. Right? Because something comes up. We hit a stumbling block, or we are challenged with something that we then have to overcome. It's the same thing when you're a leader, and you're trying to shift away from, you know, being business as usual to, all right, let me check in with human beings. It's not going to feel comfortable. And there are going to be moments where you're going to be like, okay, that human, I'm good. Right? But then that's your, I firmly believe that we are all, the people who come into your life are a reflection of you in some way. And so in those spaces, in those opportunities, when someone comes in and they are poking that button that you know is that button that is your trigger, that's an opportunity for you to say, okay, well, what's the gift in this? What is the gift in this? If this person, if their behavior, if how they show up triggers me, what do I need to look at within myself? What is this telling me about me so that I can heal, so that I can move on, so that I can do whatever, and then engage with that person in a different way?
Well, Sabine, it's so interesting, though, because when we are triggered by people, it's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
It's like, listen, you stop pushing my buttons. If you would not say this, if you would not do this, if you would not do this, then I won't do this. Right. So I say, one of the most dangerous things for a leader is to feel justified, right? One of the most dangerous things for a leader is for them to feel like, well, because you, then I. No. Like, who's leading you? Is this person leading you? Is this person the one that is dictating your actions and your thoughts and your behaviors? And if so, that's something for some internal work, right? Because if you are who you say you are, then it doesn't get dissuaded by what you said. I can take what you said. It doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Let's be clear. All right. I may not like what you say, but I don't have to react to what you say.
Yeah.
I don't have to change who I am and how I show up because of something that you said. Right. So it's a conversation that I have with leaders frequently, because they, I do leadership consulting and coaching and all of that work. And in that space, I am always talking about you when they want to talk about everyone else. Well, the person on my team and let's bring it back right here, because the only person that you can ever control is you. So what you want me to go do about that person? I can't do anything with them, right? So we have a leadership academy where it's online. Leaders can go on to the academy, 24 leadership lessons, video based, and it's all about you, right? I want to start with you, because we like to start with leadership about other people. I think leadership starts with you. And so I think that's the thing that we have in common also, Sabine. So Roz, I see you looking at me with the side eye. And what, before you respond, Roz, I wanted to say, I saw somebody show up out there. Oh, Regina. Hey, Regina, thanks for joining. Hope you're tuned in and dialed in. And Joe, I know you're still out there as well. To this conversation on leadership is a really, really powerful one. So, Ms. Roz.
This sounds wonderful. You know, that we're supposed to be all, you know, warm and fuzzy and supposed to knock stuff off our shoulders and everything. And that don't happen here. Let's be real. Let's just be for real. Like the kids say, for real. Okay. Things happen. And I'm not going to lie. I go to the left and I go to the right. And y'all know who my alter ego is. I'll tell you about that later, Sabine. But things happen. And sometimes it's a no Jesus zone and it's a no leadership zone. I'm just going to be honest. I'm being honest. You know, people put us in this leadership role and figure that, you know, that we're not supposed to get upset. We're not supposed to get a chip on our shoulder. And I'll be honest, it happens. It does. That's what I'm looking at, Ron, and I'm listening to her. I'm like, girl, please. Tell you something.
But, it's also part of leadership. We have, that's the vulnerability that we have to show, and we're not perfect, right. Like I said, you know. Right. So there are gonna be, you know, days where we're completely off, but we should be allowed to, you know, to have those days and not be judged, you know, too strong on those days.
Well,
and look at, you know,
you're gonna be progress. Judged. You're always
you're gonna be judged, yeah, but. At least give you, we should as leader accept that this is part of the leadership journey,
yep,
and that we're growing through those moments. So, yeah.
I definitely agree. But I also want to be really clear about something. I'm not saying that you don't have those moments,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear about that. We all have those moments. I have them every other day. It is, mm-hmm, what you do in that moment that matters, mm-hmm, right? And so, of course, we can be off our game. But if every time I'm pushing your buttons, you're off your game, that's not off your game. That is your game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? That is right. Your game. And then right. I want to say, let's have a conversation about how we shift your game, right? Mm-hmm. How we make those subtle movements that allow you to grow through the process so that every time you're not getting thrown into mm-hmm. that game. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really sort of important distinction, Sabine.
Yeah. And I would mm-hmm. even say too is, we're not saying, you know, leave your emotions away. Right. Something as simple as saying, okay, you know what? I'm a little triggered right now.
Yeah.
Or you know what? You know, this conversation is not being productive. Let's take 5 minutes, right? Or whatever the case may be. It's as you as the leader recognizing, mm-hmm. okay, I've been triggered. Mm-hmm. And rather than going on a rampage and, you know, just exploding with your emotions, recognizing, okay, I'm emotional right now. And then being vulnerable enough to say, okay, you know what? I need a moment. And stepping away, dealing with, processing, screaming, whatever you need to do, so that when you come back to that person, you can have a conversation with them from a clear space and not an emotional space. And I think that that's the change that we're mm-hmm. that we need to see, right?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. I'm used to people, you know, pounding on the table and yelling and all that other stuff. And it was just like, okay, you had a moment. Like if you would have taken that out or just said, we need to take a break, let's resume this, and then came back in and had a conversation, the way I perceive you and the way that I, you know, build trust now that tells me, oh, if I tell this person something or if I do something, they're going to react that way. Guess what? Mm-hmm. That creates mistrust. And then you get employees who aren't coming to you when it's the real important things because yeah. they're afraid of your reactions. So to Rhonda's point, we're not saying don't express your emotions, but be mindful of how mm-hmm. you express your emotions and that impact, because that does create a ripple as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you will see that in the people who are leading under you, as well as the people who report up through you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I even say express when you're frustrated. I tell my clients that if you're frustrated about some project that you set out, you had some goals and some metrics and you're not there when you expected to be, say that. You can say that I'm a little frustrated by these numbers. I want to talk about this and I want to talk about what we can do to get back on track, because I know that we can do this, right? So it's all in that approach and how you express. But I tell people, let your team know. If nobody on your team knows when you're frustrated or angry, that's a whole nother conversation, right? Mm-hmm. How do you show that vulnerability? So I say this to my son. It's been one of the things that I've been saying lately as of we're watching shows or sports or whatever. I want you to feel your emotions and express your emotions without being controlled by your emotions.
Mm.
Right? Feel them, express them, and don't be controlled by them, because those are three different things. And in each of those moments, you have a choice, right? There's a choice. There's a little gap between what you feel and what you do. It is in that gap that makes all the difference, because you can decide to act out, and all of a sudden, now I'm looking at you like, ooh, shoot. Right? She don't really got it together. Like, okay, because that's what we expect from our leaders. Mm-hmm. So really good conversation. Oh my goodness. All right. We're going to shift a little bit, and then we're going to let's just do our top two to mix it up a bit and do something a little bit different. And then we're going to come back, and because I want to make sure that we get to Sabine's formula that she shared. So let's do our top two. And our top two question today is, let me get to my little doohickey so I can play our little special music while y'all think about it for a hot 2 seconds. So if you were to rewind the clock, what two things would you tell your younger self, right? What are two things you would tell your younger self if you could rewind the clock? And Roz wants to go first on the other side of this break. Roz like, I got this one. And we'll come back and talk about it right after this. All right, Miss Roz, I know you're ready. So you might as well just go on.
Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Clutch your pearls. I would have waited to have sex, number one.
Hmm. Ooh, we could do a whole show on that. Okay.
Keep going, Roz. I really would. I would have waited to have sex. And then when I had an opportunity to get a master's degree, I turned it down because of emotions. And I could have gotten it for free, and I didn't. I had a chance. So those were two things.
All right. Thank you, Roz. So you go back and tell yourself those two things. And Marae, what about you? What are the two things you would go back and tell your younger self?
So one of the things that I really wanted to have is think about having coaches and mentor before, you know, earlier, because I lost so much time, you know, trying to figure out things on my own. So I think that's one thing that would have been very beneficial if I had to rewind time. And the other thing is really spend more time with my parents, because I've been traveling, you know, from a very young age, didn't live, you know, left home when I was 15. And by the time I was settled, my parents were gone. So that was really the thing that I regret right now.
All right. Thank you, Marae. Sabine?
Yeah. So first and foremost, you are enough. You as you are enough. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing would be this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Growing up, I wanted to be the first to do all the things, right? Like I was on this time clock. Everything had to happen. And in many of those years or decades, like I missed out on the experience of the journey because I was trying to get to the next thing. So it's more of a, you know, enjoy the process, enjoy the experience, enjoy the bumps as well as the high moments.
Oh, that's awesome. I think for me, I would tell my younger self to prioritize the main thing, right? So what is the main thing, right? And that varies at the stage of my life. When I was younger, mm-hmm. the main thing were my children, but I got very distracted with my career, right? And I'm doing all this stuff and going. I wish I would have spent a little more time there and focused there and found a different way to manage and navigate than I did now. So I would say, figure out what that main thing is for you at that stage in your life and prioritize it so that you feel good about where you're doing, where you're going and what you're doing. The next thing I would tell myself is lighten up. Lighten up. Everything's not that big of a deal. Don't take yourself so seriously. Have fun. It's going to be all good, right? The sun's going to come up tomorrow, right? And so just lighten up a little bit so that you can spend more time enjoying that journey, like Sabine just mentioned. So mm-hmm. I think those are the things that I would tell myself. All right. Woohoo! We got the top two in. That was fun. So let's go quickly to Sabine's. Sabine, you shared this with us, and I would like for you to take a minute to talk through this for us.
Do you want me to go now?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you were going to go back. So yes, the leadership operating system, and you know, I feel like this is a perfect time for it because it really does summarize everything that we've been talking about this entire time. So when you think about the leadership operating system, think about this this circle, if you will, where it starts with you, you're in the middle, and then your vision, and then your team. And that's what actually generates your impact. So we started with the you, right? Getting clear on who am I? What do I want? What's important to me? What are my values? That's so critically important. I mean, everything that we do, everything that we, especially when we're in a leadership position, right? It is projected and it is magnified back to us. And Rhonda, your opening Espresso thing highlighted this beautifully, that if you look out into your organization and you don't see people who are compassionate, who are caring, who are collaborative, who are all these things, then that's an opportunity to look back, okay, how am I showing up? So you start with you. You get clear on who you are, what you want, what your values are. And then what is your vision? How do you take who you are, the essence of who you are, and, you know, cast it out into this vision? And that vision, you know, is reflected back to you in your organization. You know, think about from a values perspective. And I know that that gets thrown out a lot too. And, you know, most companies have a nice, you know, value statement on their website or in their hallways. But the question is, how much of those values are you living out every day? And it's not just, you know, being nice and being courageous and all those things. Are they reflected in the relationships that you have with the people who report into you? Are they reflected in your choices of vendors? Are they reflected in, you know, your choices of people that you partner with within your business? Are they reflected in the clients that you take on? You know, as depending on how big your business is, as small businesses, right? Like, our energy, our time is spent with our clients. And when we don't have clients who align with those values, we have to make those courageous decisions, especially if courage is a value, to say, you know what, we're not in alignment and I can't support you. So making sure that who you say you are is actually showing up in the way that you are, in the way that you are managing, the way that you are leading, the way that you are bringing people into your space. And then your team, you know, are you hiring people or bringing people into your organization that reflect those values? And when they don't, you know, are you holding them accountable? And a big one, do they know? Do they know? Maybe out of the five companies that I actually work for, two of them, I can say that I knew what their values were and that they were actually lived on a regular basis. Other than that, the values were so far from the importance of the day-to-day that no one talked about them. I knew what their mission was because that was all rooted in, you know, the revenue and the goals of the organization, but not the values. So you want to make sure, if you think about being influential, being impactful, the people that you bring into your organization, the people who are supporting your business, they need to know, they need to see that vision, and it has to be something more than external or monetary. And then that's where you get to make the impact. You know, most of us who start organizations, especially, you know, for entrepreneurs and smaller businesses, we do it not because we're bored. We do it because we see that there's a problem or that there's an opportunity to make an impact and or fill a space, right? So maintaining that as the North Star, so to speak, and then reverse engineering everything back to you. And for those of you who are in larger organizations, you know, you're supporting a function or you're supporting a team, it's the same thing. It's the same model. It's the same system. I think we as leaders, and again, that counts as everyone, but certainly those who are leading other people, you have an accountability. You have an accountability to be clear with who you are, what you're driving towards. Because if you're confused, your team is confused. Your results are going to be confused.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And let me just quickly, we'll ask Marae and Roz to react to that as we do the wrap up, because our hour's over. Like we just blew through the whole hour, ladies. That was really, really good stuff. Oh my goodness. All right. So we're going to do our wrap up so that we're not too far over here. We'll do our What's in Your Cup segment. Let's do our photos. Hold those up. Roz. Got it. All right. So when we come back, we're going to do our wrap up and we'll get Roz and Marae to talk about, you know, mention any aspects of that formula that resonate with them and anything else that we have put in your cup today in today's segment. And we'll come back and do that right after this. All right, ladies. So Roz, let's start with you. What's in your cup?
I was going to go back to the example I gave earlier. The person that came in as the new leader, they came in and didn't establish what their vision was, what their expectations were. And now it's like Sanford and Son at the workplace. It's junky. And the results are not only impacting the employees, but then the care that they give to the residents.
Yep.
So it's impacting, and then it's going home with them, and then they're bringing it back.
Yeah. Powerful. A great formula, Sabine. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Marae. Yeah.
No, very powerful formula. And I think for me, the strong part is the you, because that's really what we can influence. And really the accountability that you mentioned that we have to have clarity of who we are and, you know, understand how we come out and connect with people and understand that this is the impact that we're going to create and have the clarity on where we want to be, as a leader, what is the vision? What do we want to accomplish? And get, you know, the time to look around and see, is it what I'm creating? Because is it me? And do I need to go back to the drawing board and change something, you know? So that's really, you know, the big highlight for me.
Thank you, Marae. I love what you just said, because looking in the mirror and saying, is it me, is a hard thing. It can be very scary. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to think it's them, but it takes me back to the opening quote, this image that was actually embedded in our opening segment. I don't know if you all saw this, but never apologize for doing the right thing, right? If it means going back, taking a step back, redoing something, starting over, if that's the right thing, then do it. Right? Do what needs to be done. So thank you. That was really, really a powerful segment. So Jo Beth said, harmony is one of her top strengths. Let's see what we got here. I wish I would have known that harmony could be achieved with a more powerful impact if I would have allowed, opened up, and worked through those human moments with my team. Do not fear or avoid human moments, or for you to have those moments. You do not have to have the answer to every challenge or obstacle. That's why you have a team. Opening it up, talking about it, being vulnerable, and work. Joe, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. So powerful and insightful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Sabine, let's wrap up with what you want people to take away from this conversation.
Yeah, so I know the coach in me came out quite a bit there, right? In terms of taking that moment and taking that step back. But if I can say anything, is that, you know, especially if you're in a position of leadership, I know that right now it's hard, right? It's hard for everybody, whether you're a solopreneur or you're managing a Fortune 500. And so first and foremost, give yourself grace. right? If this has not been, you know, part of your day-to-day or, you know, the way that you were brought up, it takes time for us to change as human beings. But if every day, two things, if every day you wake up, you set your intention. You set your intention for how you want to feel at the end of the day, not what you want to accomplish, not what you want to, you know, check off the list or anything. How do I want to feel at the end of the day? And then at the end of the day, check in with yourself. Do mm-hmm. I feel the way that I intended to feel? Mm-hmm. And once you, you know, once you put it into the subconscious, you put it into the atmosphere, this is how I intend to feel for the day, right? That stays there and your mind is going to go to work to help support you. Now, are you going to feel like that, you know, every single minute of the day? Maybe not. Maybe not. But because you've put that intention, you will be intentional about creating situations or environments where you can feel that. And then at the end of the day, you check in on yourself. And if you don't feel that way, then all right, next day, what am I going to do differently to make sure that I end my day feeling whatever way you've decided that you wanted to feel?
Love that. Sabine, how could people connect with you or learn more about the work you do in the world?
Oh, thank you for asking. So you can connect with me here on LinkedIn. I live here. Rhonda has residency, but you know, I visit quite frequently. And you can also reach me on my website at SabineGideon.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Amazing, amazing conversation, Sabine. Thank you so much for being here. I'll wrap up quickly with my last drop. Who you are speaks to everything that you do. When you lead with humility, empathy, and a fierce competence, it's a transformative experience, not only for you, everybody under your charge, everyone that you have the ability to impact and influence, it makes a difference for them. So that's my last drop. I had just a fun, amazing, super fun time today. Yeah. Thank you all so much for being here. Sabine, thank you so much for bringing your brilliance and your wisdom with us. If you're out there watching, don't forget to like and share the video. I know somebody else needs to hear some of this conversation. So if you're out there, we certainly appreciate you. And we invite you to join us back here next week. Same time, same station for another episode of The Coffee with Rhonda Show. Until next week, everybody, take good care. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.